As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The experience of your touch is to know pleasure beyond the joy of passion. It is to life an extraordinary event that makes one completely forget the world around them. You create moments that will never be recreated. The senses of one's being are taken to a place that leaves their body unable to respond to normal stimulus. Your action can't be duplicated or reenacted because you bring a passion that only your spirit can display. Every intimate moment holds a secret exhibit of your feelings for me. I embrace them knowing that each movement of your body produces a perfect portrait. My body is like a canvas waiting to be transformed from blankness to color. Only imagine with eyes tightly closed in darkness as the backdrop. I long to re-experience it daily. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. This is a platform where your voice can be heard loud and clear. The show is on Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies2.com. www.jamestdeshaies2.com. Please consider purchasing my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. So forgive me, guys. I just want, you know, as always, I wanted to talk to you about, I want to talk about the terrorism and how it relates to us and the issues that we have related to how people perceive us. And what do we need to do in order for people to better understand who we are and how we feel and how think. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, are we contributing to the reason why people have so much hatred toward us? And what can we do to have more common ground? What can we do to reach some kind of understanding with the Middle East and regions of the Middle East that would allow us to live in harmony. You know, we live in a world that is getting smaller and smaller. And we cannot allow ourselves to be isolated or to have an enemy with so much hatred in their heart that we don't think at some point they'll find a way to devastate us if we don't reach out and try to squash the animosity. So in the fact that we're spending so much money on military and being the only true military power in the world who's going around trying to police the world, what does that make us look like? And I know that this stuff is beyond our individual thoughts. I have to tell you, I don't have much understanding about how we found ourselves in this position. But it just seems like to me that we spend a lot of our time putting ourselves in the midst of situations and not truly understanding how people perceive the way we are positioning ourselves. So I'd like to just ask you, you know, should we give some thought process to how to change our perception, how to change the thought that, well, somehow we're big brother and we can always come and step on people and not understand why people have these ugly perceptions about us and want to destroy us. We have to give some credence to whatever it is they're thinking. We contributed to that thinking. So, Cheryl, I'd just like to ask you, I mean, I know I'm kind of naive because I'm not really sure how we got in this position, because at one time there were two world powers, Russia and ourselves, and all of a sudden, you know, 8 to 10 to 15 years ago, Russia withdrew. And all of a sudden, we became the only world power. So doesn't it behoove us to recognize or think about how people perceive us so that we're not perceived as somebody who's going around trying to be militaristic? Cheryl?
Good afternoon, and how is everyone doing this evening? You know, I want to say that I'm just really like you. I'm kind of naive to all of it because just over the last so many years, things have escalated to the point that it allowed me to be able to look and see certain things that I had no idea about, you know, years before that. Now, how we get into this situation, I have no idea. And what are we doing? Question you asked, what are we doing that allows them to perceive us the way that they do? I'm not even sure as far as that, because if we knew or if it was pinpointed or brought to our awareness, then maybe we can come out of the things that we are in so involved in right now. I mean, and it's affecting us right here on American soil. So, you know, and right now all I'm hearing now is this World War III. And to me, are we really prepared for something like that? Or are we boasting ourselves up to be more than what we can actually do? You know, I don't know how the saying go. Have we wrote a check that we really can't cover? And I'm trying to watch it as it unfolds with not understanding all the specifics and definitely not understanding how we got to where we are today. And hopefully there's others here that have a little bit more knowledge in finding and following the situation a little bit more closely than you and I, and that maybe can shed a little light on, you know, something that we may not have been able to see. And that's what makes this platform so beautiful, is because things that we did not realize or was not brought to our attention definitely is talked about, you know, on the platform, where we are getting different people inputs of Coolflower things, you know, closely, because in everything that we talk about, things more closely than others. So that's something that I would, you know, want to see, and maybe it can help clear up some things or leave me with, and you and I both, with a little bit more understanding than when we first started, you know, with this first question.
You know, I see that we need, you know, when we talk about bullying, and we, you know, for me, we take bullying to another level. And when you refuse to negotiate or try to reach a common ground so as to appreciate the needs and desires of others, you cannot act as though you're the only country in the world that wants to have prosperity. And when people see the prosperity you have in your country and assume or believe that you're somehow trying to treat them as a second child or a stepchild, people have perceived that as arrogance. And arrogance is never met with positive feelings. So, Andre, what, you know, what can we do? At one time, I thought that Barack Obama was trying to establish a different type of relationship with foreign countries, one that showed more respect for them as a nation, because when you are trying to push people into things, it's hard for them to see from your vantage point. So how do we create a different atmosphere about how people perceive us in order that we get rid of some of this animosity that people are willing to display?
Wonderful Wednesday to everyone, and I think this is one of the easiest questions that you have ever asked, James. In my opinion, the answer is simple. Elect people that represent us better. That means elect people consistently that demonstrate one of unity, the one that's welcoming, one that's not bullying and just view the United States way or no way. So once we have those type of members representing us as the United States, then it will express to people across the world of us being willing to be true partners versus more of a dictator. And that will not occur overnight, but if we see that consistent message of kindness, teamwork, partnership, unified, being demonstrated over and over again, that's, in my opinion, that's how we make the change.
And it's important that people realize that the destruction doesn't have to be complete to make it unbearable. You know, we have to recognize that we might be able to destroy a country, but if they are able to take out one city or one state, that is going to devastating. So there is no really win in this kind of situation. Dee, what is your thoughts? You know, that we need to gravitate to a different way of doing things and recognizing that the world is too small to take on that the kind of posture that we seem to be taking on right now.
Well, good evening, everybody, again, and thank you, Jane, for another great topic. I want to say that we have to come to realize what's been taken away from us. What's been taken away from us? You know, when this administration came to power, they took away what we had. And, you know, when we speak about being the only superpower, well, when we became that only superpower, that was one thing that we had that that everybody else in the world respected us for. And that was the fact that we respected them, too. We respected them. What did your grandmama say? Respect gets respect. So we respected them. All right. Now, when this current administration and the people that put this administration into power, what they took away was the thing that kept them in check in the first place, the thing that they could not stand to have to do. And that was they couldn't stand to be politically correct. When you speak about diplomacy, what is that? That's being politically correct. And they can't stand that. The idea of being politically correct was like a thermostat that you put in an automobile to keep the car from running hot. When you take that away, then the car is going to run hot. It's just going to boil over. And that's what's happening. That's the perception that you're looking for us to be able to understand why we are where we are, because that they took that away. They have, and when I say they, you know who they are. They have long been aggravated by the fact that they had to be politically correct. Farrakhan said it years back. What they want to do is be imperialistic. When Trump came in during the campaign, he spoke about that. The winner takes all the spoils. And he also spoke about, we got nukes, why can't we use them? So the thermostat has been removed. So Ms. Audrey just spoke about, we got to get back to some consistency. And the consistency is that we have to get people back in office that understand what it is and what it takes to be recognized in the world as being a world that recognize humanity and that appreciate humanity. Not somebody just going to fly off the cuff and act and react and then don't even calculate the consequences. And that's mind-boggling in itself. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
You know, we just don't seem to understand that we live in a world that requires us to talk to people and talk to them in a way that we can reach some kind of meaningful understanding. And so when I listen to the things that we're doing to make people even feel worse about who we are, you know, when we're talking about building a wall, and that wall is going to cost nearly $20 billion. And I say to myself, how can we afford to build a wall that just stands up and literally does nothing to make life better for anybody other than be a mechanism to keep other people out of our country? I mean, what kind of humanity spends that kind of money just to keep people out? It does not build any conciliation for others. And you know that the people in the Middle East see that and recognize somehow or another that we feel we're better than other people and we don't have to be conciliatory. And we can demand that you pay other people pay for it. And so a lot of the attitudes that people have about us very well may be the way we spend money and ostracize ourselves from the regular from the other regular people in the world. So, Joyce, you know, what is your thoughts in terms about, you know, the kind of things we do and the kind of message we are sending? We support Israel, and they build in houses in Palestine area, and they know they're not supposed to be doing it, and we support them. And it's like, you know, we support people who are doing things that suggest that somehow or another they're better than other people.
Exactly. Well, that's who we have at the throne at this time, the higher power in management. It used to be that America used to be the highest standard of being a superpower that everybody want to be a part of, you see. But now that we have a person that's up at the top who is a bully, you see, it's just turning everybody off, because the way that he want to manhandle that superpower is dangerous. And a person, and to me, it's like the big bully is picking on the little kid. And then once you pick on the little kid, you're not going to gain the respect from the other countries. They're going to look at it that if you did him like that and he's a little kid, you wouldn't think twice on doing me like that. So what he's doing is separating himself, our country, the superpower, from all the other. So it used to be, it's nothing wrong with being a superpower, but you got to be a superpower with finesse. And that's what the United States used to have, that type of finesse. It's not a showmanship type of superpower. We knew how strong we are. We knew that we was more advanced in all the technology and everything out there that make us number one. But this guy is just so off the chain in the whole bit, is that he want to muscle his way through. And that's not the way being more peaceful and bringing everybody on board and trying to get everybody to a certain level is the right way to do it, because then not only that, you earn the respect on all the other forces. But the way that he's doing it and turning people off is just ridiculous.
It just seems to me that all the money that we spend on military, that we could somehow spend on diplomacy to work on being better neighbors and being better to our own people. You know, it may not be all as cracked up to be known as the only superpower, because then people are looking at you as though you somehow know what's better for everybody else. So, Cheryl, you know, when you in a situation where somebody's trying to tell you what's best for you because you don't have the strength to fight back, that does not lead a person to want to have a mutual understanding.
Definitely not. And that's contributing to a lot of our struggles right now. And just like everybody who, you know, just finished talking, you know, it has a lot to do with who we have in leadership. And, I mean, we're showing division right now. I mean, the things that we're doing. So we're not showing ourselves friendly. And if we're not, then what do we expect to get in return? And we're getting just what we are putting out right now. And just like, and I can't remember exactly who just said it, but, you know, we got to keep putting the right people in leadership, not just one time, because one time will only last a moment, but it has to be continuous. And not only that, showing strength. And if we're not, like I said, if we don't, you know, we gotta live even, you know, everyday life according to the word. And we have to show ourselves friendly if we want to be friends with others. But that's, you know, that's the way I see it. And we're not. We're definitely not.
And when you look at these agreements that have been made, Andre, when we look at the agreements that were made in terms of Iran, and we look at the NAFTA agreement, there were several different countries that were in those agreements. And when you got one man deciding he's not going to he's not going to uphold the agreement, it's like you're telling everybody who was in those meetings that they were stupid, and that you're the only intelligent person that can write an agreement or come to an agreement that's going to be best for everybody. And so it is difficult to look at America when we're the ones breaking the treaties that have been signed by a number of different people, as though we're the only one can come up with an agreement that makes any sense.
Well, you're devaluing everyone else. You're saying we may have this meeting and we're discussing this and everybody put in their views, they put in their votes, and no matter how things are going and what would be best for the whole, you're disregarding everyone. So when a person is disrespected or disvalued, they're not going to feel that you're looking out for their best interest. And, again, that causes the rift, if you would. So the opposite of that would, again, inclusion. Include your input, your views, your say, if you would, as being important. And as Joy said, you know, when we are in a position of leadership, a true leader don't have to keep telling you that they're the leader. They feel confident within themselves, and a good leader is always trying to bring others up. And when you devalue someone, these are educated people. They're leaders in their own right, so they're used to power and used to representing their people. So what did they do? Okay, you don't want to do it? You're not going to stop the show, though. We're going to go. So in essence, they sent a message as well.
And D, you got to know that people are not going to be dictated to by one country. You know, I heard the other day that we only make up about 5% of the world population. So do we really believe that we're going to dictate to the other 90%, 95% of the world what it is going to be done, and it'll be done the way we said it, and think that's going to be accepted and without opposition?
James, who are you speaking to?
I'm talking to you, D.
Okay. You know, I think the people in power think so, but I can tell you somebody who don't think so, and these are the ones that we have to keep our eye on, because they're sitting back and they're very quiet right now, and they're watching to see how we, the people, the citizens of the United States that have common sense, they're sitting back to see how we are going to handle this situation, because they're not saying much. And I'm talking about the Chinese. They're not saying much. But they're sitting back to see how the United States of America, that has the reputation of 200 plus years of good diplomacy, being able to handle things really well within its own right, how are we going to handle this upheaval that we're going through? So, but at the end of the day, you got to know that they're just as strong. They got just as much muscle, technology-wise, and weaponry that we have. And then the third card is the manpower that they have, ready to fight. So that's the snake in the grass, if I can use that term, that somebody's not paying much attention to. They're not saying much, but you can rest assured they're watching, and they are preparing themselves. They've always been prepared. They just came from behind the Great Wall of China in the past 20 years, if that long. They've been isolated for thousands of years. And so now, they're out making friends. They're out making friends over in the Gaza Strip. Their ships have been out making friends and making partners. So they're ready. But apparently, this administration there, so debunked, man. They can't tell their butt from a hole in the ground. So there you have that. Thanks. I'm sorry.
You know, it's real confusing to me. And a big part of what you say is so true. China seems to have isolated themselves from the turmoil that exists around the country for America. Look like China is sitting off to the side. They don't have any beef with nobody, and they're able to exist without all this constant turmoil about, you know, where they are. You hear a little bit about them in a few of the countries that they feel like they should have ownership in. I think it's Taiwan, if I'm not mistaken, or gosh, I know there was one country that they were supposed to get back. And
yes, Taiwan is one of them. Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's some, you know, but outside of that, they have very little beef going on around the world. But here we are, constantly involved in these issues with the Middle East, siding with Israel and the Palestinians, and just don't want to be fair. The Palestinians have every right to have their own country and rule over their land. And at some point, they needed to be given back what they already had. But you see, the Israel just is determined to be a thorn in the shoe of peace. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, this world is not going to get any bigger. And we have to find a way to have mutual peace with people instead of trying to run shotgun over people. Joyce, I mean, we can't just continue to think that the world is going to accept our ruling even from a distance, because we know we wouldn't let no other country rule us from a distance.
That's true, absolutely. And Dee, you're right on point as far as what China and where they are with this. Everybody is, not only China is sitting back, other countries that has power too that are sitting back and wanted to see exactly how we are addressing the situation. Now, I think I have so much respect for my senator, Mr. John McCain, because he sees something seriously happen here, and he sent a message to Trump just yesterday: wake up, you got to wake up here, because where we're going is definitely in the wrong direction. And what other countries are doing is looking at us, and they're losing respect. Now, Trump was so hasty in not being a part of, but now he's begging to come back in. Isn't that amazing? You see, he was trying to bulldoze his power in the whole bit and thinking that people was going to fall under his line, but it doesn't go that way. And the only thing that I'm asking, and we're forgetting to ask, and we just let go by the wayside that everybody forgot, is that this guy has never, ever showed his taxes the way he promised that he would do. And when he does that, that's going to be the telltale of the story. We need to get back on track. He's taken us so far in all these crazy directions until the bottom line is that we need to know just how much you are into Russia's pocket, how much they have control over you, and that's going to be a telltale. So he's such a big bully. He sent everybody in the wrong direction and just everything going, so you don't know what's going on. But you know what? These other countries, they're not dumb. They're sitting back and seeing just how stupid we are and see whether or not the good old boys going to stand up to him. And I think what's happening is they waiting for him to shoot himself in the foot. But if they wait too long, he's going to be so slick, he might just wiggle his way out of the whole situation. Thank you.
Yeah, it is just unnerving to me that we don't see that we have to change our behavior. Sometimes we have to adjust to the world as it truly is, and we cannot be policing the whole world without upsetting the apple cart when we're not being fair about the way we're doing things. And so instead of being so militaristic, we need to be more caring about how we interact with people so that people can be best served by our kindness and not by our desire to be the masters of the world. Because that's not going to happen, Andre. We don't have the ability or the military to control the whole world. So we have to learn how to live in peace and try to solicit peace versus telling people we're going to make them do something.
You're exactly right. And part of the reason why the United States had such power in the past is because of the unity that they were trying to instill across the world. And, you know, when we talk about us being the United States of America, you know, within our own country, we have so much just distance and we're divided.
Sure.
And, you know, charity always starts at home. And until we can get ourselves together, surely others are not going to follow and want to be a part of us. But you're exactly right. We're not equipped to control the world, and nor were we designed to. That's the reason why you have the union form such that countries can unite together.
And it just means, you know, life would be so much easier if we didn't look like we were the bullies or look like the police of the world. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Oh,
Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. D, one of the things I think that leads us to, you know, people believe that we think we're the police of the world. We have bases all over the place. You know, we got bases in Europe. We got bases in Japan. You know, we just have bases in many different other countries. And when the Russia was going to try to have a base in Cuba, we said, no, we ain't going for it. You know, we made them take out these missiles they had in Cuba. But why is it that we feel it's okay for us to have bases or military power in other countries, but we don't want any military bases with other countries in the continental, in the continent of America. So we can go into Europe and put a base. We can put a base in these other countries, but they don't have bases in America.
Well, you know, Jay, now that's a question that I really can't answer. I would suspect it's because that the rest of is because we have gained the trust of the rest of the world. When it comes down to these guerrilla militant groups, you know, like over in Yemen, and now we know that Al-Qaeda is alive and well. Well, but they said they're on the verge of being defeated, but who knows? But you know, you got pirate groups all over the world, and if they don't see a deterrent in that area, then these warlords around the world may come in and take advantage of a less fortunate country. Now, for the life of me, though, I'm yet to understand that every time Rhodesia and Zimbabwe and an African nation have internal conflict, that there's nothing ever to be said to go over and help them out. Now, for the past 60 years, that's yet to be seen. Why? When you ask that question, very rarely we ever see the United States go over there and police the situation where these rogue dictatorships just come in and just do whatever they want, steal the food and just reap havoc in those countries over in Africa. So I guess that's a whole nother show, though. So there you have it.
Well, you know, I recognize and understand that when we defeated Japan, in all honesty, Japan wants us to stay there because that means that's money they don't have to spend on the military. And so, but you got to know that people in the Middle East look at that as though we are trying to police the world when we have ourselves spread it out in different places so that we end up always fighting in their country, but we're not fighting in ours. You know, when you see all that destruction that's going on in the Middle East, it's understandable why people will resent the fact that none of our cities look like their cities when that destruction comes. And how we'll take our military anywhere we want to as though nothing better not be said. And so we have to try to find a different way to befriend people and hold their trust so that we are not aggravating the distrust and hatred that other people have for us, Joyce. Are you there, Joyce? What are your thoughts about
it? I wasn't listening. Could you go over, could you ask someone else? I wasn't.
Okay, Cheryl, we
okay.
can't.
Yes, I'm sorry.
We can't. Okay. Are you ready, Joy?
Okay, what did you say so I can come in on it? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was away from my phone.
No problem. I was talking about how we have all these military bases all over the world, and that's one of the reasons why people resent the fact that we don't allow them to put their military in small countries in Americas, South America, or Central America, or North America. We don't allow other countries to have their bases here, but yet we put bases all around the country, all around the world, in order to better, you know, we want to fight the wars in their country and not have them be able to do anything to America.
Well, you know, when you look at it, the reason why that they were based in so many places because all the other countries, they were asking for assistance, and it's the way that we went about it, you know, for diplomacy. But now that the type of people that we have in power, it doesn't look that way, you know. But most places welcome bases. I know in Japan, my uncle was there in the Air Force when I was a flight attendant. And I mean, it's well respected to be over in certain places all over Germany and places like that, because those countries are the ones who wanted our support at that time. But now that the way that we appeal to these countries, and it's not and feel as though that the countries feel that we bogart in some way and not there for the right reason and certain part of the country. It's just crazy. But that has a lot to do with authority and diplomacy and who's negotiation. You know, we did have level-headed people at the table that was willing to see, to not to overthrow these countries, but to try to get them to be more civilized in humanity in the way that they treated their people. And a lot of that was done through talk. You know, cold war is what they say, you know, when you talk it over. But this guy, he got his hand on the trigger, and people don't like to be threatened. You know, you got two ding-dongs at each other right now. I forgot what he called the other dude. And then himself, he's the moron. And then the moron is against the, what did he call the other guy? I forgot what he called him. But it's just two ding-dongs there, and everybody's just looking, and everybody's scared to death. So I think that's where we are. I don't think that it was set up that way, that we just bogarted our way in those different countries, that most of the time that they were really welcome to help to resolve peace and to bring humanity to those countries. But now I think it has flipped so badly, and it's totally out of hand.
Yeah, that's part, and you're right. You know, we stayed in Korea because we started the Korean War, so we just stayed in Korea. After defeating Japan, Japanese wanted to have, they liked the military being there because, again, they don't have to spend much of their money there. We're in Germany, and so we find ourselves, and we're in the Middle East, we find ourselves all over the place, but it is drawing a lot of resentment from some of the smaller countries who think that we are just being bullies. And so we have to, if we're going to be in those other places, and I agree that we should be, but we have to act more friendly, and we have to be more respectable to people and be willing to sit down and talk with them in order to better understand what their positions are. Cheryl, we can't act as though we're not going to be listening and not being sympathetic to other people. That's going to cause resentment.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And
I hear you, Cheryl.
You know, okay, and you're right. You know, we can't do things that way. And when you mentioned about bullying, that's what we're actually doing. And nobody's going to be receptive to someone else bullying them. You know, that's when they put on their defenses, and that's the reason why we have such chaos that we are having right now. I mean, and not being able to come to no common ground in any of the things that we're dealing with right now. So, you know, I really agree with what you're saying. And I think that everybody else understands, you know, it perfectly well as well, because, you know, bullying is just the insecurities of the other person. And that's what we're dealing with. Just like whoever was just now talking about, we got, you know, we got some idiots going on here.
And I'm not sure I understand that, you know, we have never said that we want to leave our borders unprotected, but what kind of message does it send when you put the wall on one side of your border, but you're not putting a wall up against Canada? So that's trying to tell the Mexican people that we need to keep y'all out, but the Canadians are okay. Doesn't that send some kind of contradiction, Padre, where you're willing to put up a border with Mexico, but there's no need to put up a border with Canada?
Yes, it indicates clearly that you're more comfortable with one than the other. And, you know, we send signs and signals to people all the time, and any of us can actually detect when a person is genuine and when they're not. We can tell when we're shunned or when we are invited in. So that's exactly true. Why would you say it's so important to put up a border on such one end and not the other? It's just like this crisis, you know, everybody's saying, you know, make sure that you reach out and help Puerto Rico. How many times do you see people saying, help the Virgin Islands? The Virgin Islands was impacted twice versus the once for Puerto Rico. And don't get me wrong, everyone needs help, and that's that we should try to help. That's true. But again, there's a difference in the manner in which Virgin Island members are being treated versus Puerto Ricans.
And you see that all the time. I mean, they did the same thing with Cuba. If Cuban immigrants reached the shores of America, they were accepted and brought into the country. If the Haitians reached the border, they were sent back. And so we've always had these contradictory rules in place based on who it was that we were dealing with. And so we really need to get our act together so that we have a more understandable policy and don't be treating people differently related from where they're coming from. I understand the need to vet people, but then you need to understand that the process shouldn't be based on any biases when we do it. And so often we have a situation where people are just not being respectful of other people as human beings. Regina, what are your thoughts about the way we seem to be treating other countries so that we now look like bullies instead of friendship, creating true friendships?
Hi, I don't know if, do we think that president is creating true friendships with anybody? I mean, anybody at all?
I think he's been destructive on every front. I think he's just creating animosity throughout the whole world.
Yeah, throughout the entire world. He is unreal. He's unreal. So I don't know. It's interesting though. A lot of the people who are being radicalized, and they're coming in through Canada, or they're leaving and going to Canada and then going across seas. Does he not see that as something that needs to be looked at? Are protected?
Well, I think he just has his mind bent. I just don't see why America would want to even spend what I've heard is $22 billion on a wall. You know, to me, there is no benefit to that wall whatsoever. There is so much that we could do in our country with $22 billion to make our cities a better place than to be spending $22 billion on a wall. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I just can't even begin to wrap my feeling around that. Andre, I mean, what's the benefit? What possible benefit could you get that would be worth $22 billion?
You have a support base that will continue after you out of office. It's about power and influence. So what you have done is not about spending the money. Like I say, it's a lot of other means in which we can help and be very valuable to citizens across the United States. But the view is that the power of knowing that you accomplished this and your fan base then getting equipped, building confidence, you are inspiring them to take actions. And that's what we're seeing. So that's what it's about. It's about him being true to his word of saying what he would do.
I
think a lot of the things you continue to look and see what it is that's fair across the United States. That's your mindset. But over and over again, until you start changing the thought of understand that this is about a certain segment that the focus is on. Well, maybe a couple of them. The wealthy, as well as some of the great white Americans that felt that they were being the minority and they would refuse to allow that to happen. So it's an uprising, if you would. So that's the piece of it. He's building or creating something in which a person can now, and what we're seeing, express their feelings. In the past, they may have been a little more hesitant. So he's empowering. So if I had to answer, I would say the benefit of is empowering, influencing, and continuing with that train of thought.
I saw a special the other day on that wall. And, you know, and I think this wall is supposed to be something like 30 to 40 feet high, if I'm not mistaken. And the person, they asked the person who was one of the border control people if he thought that the wall would help. And he was saying that he thought most of the drugs were coming through the port of entry. And by ships and by planes, and that wall is only, and there are people who already got tunnels going under the border. So, you know, if they were able, just think about it now. These people dug a tunnel and got a man out of jail. What they care about that building a tunnel under a wall? You know, I mean, it just don't make sense that they got just as much intelligent people as you do, and they got just as much money to figure stuff out. And you think a wall is going to be your refuge? People have been feeding walls since the beginning of time, Joy. So, I mean, why all of a sudden now a wall is going to be the answer to everything?
It's not going to be the answer because the people are so smart, they're going to find a way to do it. Even if they have to parachute their ass over there and drop down on the other side, they're going to do it. I mean, it's a way of getting around everything, you know. You watch and see. You find all them little zone things, you know, people going in those little balloons and just enough to take their ass across the wall and they're good to go. I'm serious. Think about it. They're just laughing at Trump. They cannot wait. It's going to be a big joke. It's a waste of money. And my thing is, why do you want to freeze and lock someone out just because, you know, they got who they are and where they are? You know, that's just like us being the minority. It's ridiculous. You cannot get a fair shake because the color of your skin is a little darker and you're recognizable. But other people can do the same thing with a different color, and it's no big deal. But with you, you got it. You just stand out, and just try to withhold, you know, and the meek shall, you know what I mean, inherit the earth. So they doing it the wrong way. This guy is just a joke, you know, waste of money. And look at all the money that he's going to spend on this wall. And your health care has gone up how much? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everybody should have good health care and the whole bit. I mean, and people just going to suffer. Poor health care, they don't care. I mean, drugs is out of this. I mean, put the money where it needs to be. And it does not need to be in a wall, because these people are going to come over if they want to anyway. They're going to find a way to do it.
For sure. We're going to take our final break, and we'll come back and have our last word. Are you there, Joyce? Cheryl, what are your final thoughts for this evening? Cheryl.
Hello. My final thought is
what,
not
what
to
are
get
your
distracted.
Go ahead.
To get it distracted, keep our eye on the ball. This guy's trying to take us in every direction, but the truth is that we got to keep looking forward. We got to be able to see the forest for the trees. So don't be distracted. And my take is that we just have to pray that no one just get too aggressive enough that it just be self-destructive with no turning back. I'm just hoping Congress and the senators would do the right thing as far as get this guy on track.
Correct. Cheryl, what are your final thoughts this evening?
Very, very good topic. I learned a lot, and I think that's important for listeners, you know, because I was a little green in a lot of the areas of the conversation, but I really was able to pick up on a lot of things and to see a lot of things that was there that I didn't give as much thought to. So very interesting because it brought more awareness to me, and hopefully, you know, if it did it for me, it did it for other listeners as well.
All right. Regina, your final thoughts for this evening?
I think we have to stay aware, and as someone has already said, don't be distracted. An example of distraction is here in South Carolina, Bannon is coming, and the lady who is running for governor made a statement saying she didn't see anything wrong with him coming, and she used a lot of they shouldn't be upset, and that he speaks for all of us. And so while we're paying attention to something else, this is what they're doing, the Republicans are doing. And so we can't get distracted. So we've got to think about, you know, our future.
All right, Audrey, your final thoughts?
In order to be viewed differently, it takes us to vote differently.
Yeah, we really do need to be seen in a better light. And we have to recognize, even if we don't think we deserve to be attacked, and I agree with that, we do have a responsibility to try to reach some common ground with people who are adversaries. We cannot just believe that we're always right. And we have to live in this world together. So we have to find some common ground when we're talking to people who are our menaces. And we can't just believe that the only good way to handle it is to destroy those people who disagree with us. I want to just thank all of you for your continued support. We'll be here tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, we're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. I so look forward to talking to you and making sure that your voices are heard loud and clear. See you tomorrow, everybody.